Welcome back to the Magic Within podcast. This is episode 4. And what are we talking about today?
We're talking about Toy Story, and I am dressed for the occasion. Look, I'll just take it off. I've got one Buzz Lightyear croc on, and I've got one Woody croc on.
With matching gibbets.
Yeah, they're new, so I'll check you out.
And I've got a Pizza Planet. And a Pizza Planet t-shirt.
Yeah,
so I'm fully repping Pizza Planet today.
Dressed for the occasion. Toy Story's a big one, I think. What's your first significant memory of Toy Story?
My first memory is having the Buzz Lightyear toy, because I just used to play with that all the time, rather than the actual movie.
So is the one like the old one? Did his, like, you pressed a button and his wings shot out?
Yeah,
like,
it was
fast.
It was literally like you had.
It was quite uncomfortable how fast they shot out.
Yeah.
Like, it could have caused damage.
I like pressing the laser as well.
I think mine for me was a VHS case. The first significant memory, the light blue one with the clouds and Woody and Buzz on the front.
When he's flying in the air.
When
he's
flying
in
the air. Yeah. When flying up. So that's probably my first most significant memory. No, my first significant memory, of course, watching the films.
I feel like I can't quite remember them, watching them, but I just remember playing with them, and then I remember re-watching it when I was older.
I guess...
But I was obsessed with toys, so...
Why is Toy Story, like, significant to you? Why does it stand out as one of the big ones?
Because I loved my toys.
Yeah.
So...
See, mine's similar. Yeah. I think, like, it was almost Matrix level of, like, when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You know, like, Matrix made you just question reality a little bit.
Yeah.
First time you watched Matrix and you just kind of went,
yeah.
Are we in a simulation?
Yeah.
And, like, first time I watched Toy Story, obviously you play with toys a lot as a kid. You remember the first time I left my room?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, what do they get up to when I'm away? Do you know what I mean? Like, it blew my mind. I was like... That's when you obviously, before that, like, you see kids, like kind of like, almost like Elf on a Shelf. It's like the toys come to life, and it's like,
yeah,
I would leave my toys in certain positions and, like, come back.
Yeah.
And if they weren't in the same position, I'd be like,
I swear I used to do that as well.
What's gone on while I've been out?
Yeah. I think I used to think that anyway, and then watching the film, I was like, oh my God, it's true.
Yeah.
They're alive.
They're alive. They're literally alive. And Tom Hanks is the voice of them. But I had a Mickey Mouse as well, didn't I? Of course.
I think
those repeat listeners, they'll know. They'll know the state of set. It's down here.
I think I remember.
This little guy, look. What does he get up to? He's 30 years old and he's seen some stuff. Hiya, pal.
Oh, my God. Look at him. I remember, I swear it was after watching that movie, I started to say sorry to my teddies or my toys if I stood on them.
Yeah, you thought they had feelings.
Like, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry if I kicked it. Yeah. Like, why did I say sorry? It's probably because of Toy Story.
It's because of Toy Story.
Yeah.
And Pixar in general, it makes us think that, like, inanimate objects have feelings.
Yeah.
Like fish or cars or, you know what I mean?
Fish isn't very inanimate.
No, fish, yeah, true. That's a very good point.
Makes them human, though.
Yeah, it makes them, personifies them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the word.
Yeah.
It personifies everything, doesn't it, Pixar? And the absolute goats of that.
Mm.
And Toy Story was one of their first, no, the first, I think, the first Pixar feature film.
Game-changing.
So that's pretty impressive. And a step ahead in terms of, like, 3D animation and stuff like that. So, we're going to talk about that in the podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the movies.
And we're going to talk about the parks, because...
Yes, of course.
Toy Story
in the
parks. Two of the parks, isn't it?
And not just the movies as well, like some of the themes, some of the, like, character relationships, like, because I feel like Toy Story is more important than some people realise.
Yeah.
Especially for people, so, like, we're the same age, we were born 93 and 94.
Yeah.
And it's very important, I think, some of the messages in it, and they were very important to people our age. So we're going to delve into that. I'll try not to cry. I keep saying that. I haven't done it yet, though. I have not actually cried on the podcast.
Oh,
came close
one day.
When I was talking about Nana Lynn, but I have not actually done it. Maybe one day. So, yeah, that's going to be the episode. Right? We hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
You've got a friend in us. To infinity.
And beyond.
To infinity. And beyond. Oh. So in 1995, Toy Story came out, the original Toy Story.
That's nearly 30 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, so...
That is mental.
I might not have even been one. I don't know the exact date it came out. I just know it's 1995.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So it's crazy. I might have not even been a whole year old. It was Pixar's first actual full-length feature film. So prior to that, they'd done shorts, and a partnership was made in 1991 with Walt Disney's Animation Studio and Pixar. And as far as I'm aware, it must have been the first film that they worked together on.
Yeah.
And brought out on the big screen. And what a success it was. It was also a step ahead in kind of 3D animation.
Mm-hmm.
When you think it came out in 1995, it's pretty crazy, because everything prior to that was this, what we know from Walt Disney Animation Studio as the drawn animation.
Yeah, like flat paper.
Yeah, like 2D, yeah. Which, don't get me wrong, is beautiful, and it has its place for sure.
Love it.
I wish they did more with it still now. But
yeah.
I think... That was it. It looked like toys.
Yeah,
come to life. They didn't look like they'd been drawn. Yeah. They looked like when they did the whole Andy's coming, and they went. It looked like they just turned back into being toys again.
Back then, when people first watched it, their minds must have been blown.
100%.
Yeah,
100%. I wish I could go back to being a kid and see that for the first time. Yeah, well, I think they've remastered them now.
They might have done.
I think when you look back, Woody and Buzz certainly look different.
Yeah,
especially on that Toy Story VHS cover that was about earlier.
They were more
the faces
like
look different.
Glassy.
Yeah, a little bit.
To begin
yeah.
with, weren't they?
Yeah.
No, they actually look like plastic.
For sure, and obviously merch was a thing prior to this, but like. What a genius idea.
I know.
Because, of course, everybody's just going to want to buy them toys.
I want them all now.
I want to get the full collection.
I want two lots.
That's the thing. This is how they get you as an adult. Why? Because I want one out of the box.
Yeah.
And then I want one in the box because the boxes look awesome. They look like the ones at Al's Toy Barn.
You know what I mean?
They literally look like you've gone to Al's Toy Barn and you've bought a Woody doll or you've bought a Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz is in like his spaceship.
Yeah, it's in his spaceship, yeah. Oh, jeez. And I want a Bullseye.
A Rex.
I love Bullseye.
And a Slinky Dog.
Yeah, definitely.
I just want them all. I want all the main ones.
This is a prime example of how influential Toy Story is. I think Toy Story is one of them few Disney Pixar films. I think there's certainly more Pixar films, but they transcend the Disney fans. They go past just the Disney fans. Mm. I feel like Toy Story is a universally accepted, incredible franchise. Certainly trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
As it was when it was a trilogy. I think genuinely, it great films. Not just like, oh, I'm a Disney fan. Like a really good, very, very solid trilogy. Quentin Tarantino said that he refuses to watch the fourth and won't watch the fifth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he said that it ended for him at three and it was one of the most perfect endings that he's ever seen. So he's like, for me, that story's finished.
Yeah.
And I get that because it was beautiful. But we'll probably talk more about that later on. Because it's all well and good me saying, oh, it was really good, it was really influential. But Jay hasn't got some numbers.
I can give you some figures
that will probably knock your block off because...
So, the first one in 1995, I'll just tell you all of them, made $394.4 million.
In 1995?
Yeah, second one was...
That's 30 years ago.
I know.
And no, and that, at that point, nobody had ever heard of Toy Story. You've got to bear that in mind.
That's how successful it was, straight away.
That's incredible. That is crazy.
Second one in 1999 was $511.3 million.
I contributed to that. Not me personally, but my nana, because I remember going to watch the second one. Do you?
Oh, I don't think I remember watching them in the cinema.
Do you not?
Apart from the third one.
Oh, see, no, I definitely remember watching the second one in the cinema.
I probably did.
Because we were like five, 5, 6.
And then the jump, it went from 5 years, 5 years, no, 4 years, and then it goes 2010 was the third one.
Yeah.
It was 1.06 billion. And then.
That doesn't surprise me.
Go 9 years later. To Toy Story 4, and it was 1.7 billion, so it was more than the third one.
Yeah.
Or 1.07, sorry, but like...
Yeah, 1.07.
0.3.
So it was 1.06. Oh, hang on, what was 3?
3 was 1.067. Right. 4 was 1.073. So overall, if you count them all together, it's $3.05 billion.
Jeez. And that's worldwide. Not including merch.
No, that's just all 4 movies.
Anything in the parks, any spin-offs like Lightyear or anything like that. So just purely
crazy.
At the cinema, at the box office, $3.095 billion.
Yeah.
That's how much Toy Story is worth in the cinema.
Yeah.
That is absolutely staggering.
I don't even want to think about
how films about toys. Like
the toys, though, that they...
And they're so good. Yeah. That's what I mean. And it's not just that. It's the voices. It's the timing. Because, bringing that third one out in 2010. So I was not even one when the first one came out. Mm. I was a little baby.
Yeah.
Second one came out. I was 5, 6 years old. The third one comes out, I'm 16.
Yeah.
I'm leaving school.
Yeah.
And the whole message about it is like growing up and moving on. And it was just so perfectly timed to that point. See, I can say, obviously, Toy Story 2, I put my hand up and I said, my nana contributed to that. But Toy Story 3, I contributed to that. I went with my friends.
Like, I feel like that's when I fell in, that age, 16, was when I was like, oh no, I've forgotten how much I love Disney and Pixar.
Yeah.
And then you watch that and it's basically similar events to your own life growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I was crying so much in the cinema watching that at 16. And I was not ashamed.
Was that me in like 16? Like, honestly, probably about 7, 8 of us, all lads.
Mm, yeah.
On the front row. Going to watch Toy Story. It was 3D.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, it was 3D. It was 3D. It was that time when everything was through. It was that time when everything was... Yeah, it's just... It's an icon. Yeah. I'd say it's Pixar's flagship. It's what I think of when I think Pixar. I think The Clouds. Yeah, I think You've Got a Friend in Me. It's one of the most iconic franchises in cinema history, I would say.
Mm.
The voice acting in that was just phenomenal. And we actually see clips now of Tom Hanks and Tim Allen in the studio and they're fully acting. Mm. Like they're fully acting. It's just brilliant. I can't think of... I don't know. There's not... Genuinely, as a trilogy, I can't think of a better one, really, apart from, like, Dark Knight, Planet of the Apes, things like that. You'll probably say Lord of the Rings, which is fair enough. I'm not going to disagree. A lot of people do love it. It's, but yeah, for Toy Story, for a film about toys to be even in that conversation.
I know, it's so good. Rotten Tomatoes is rated as perfect. It's Toy Story.
Good. So it should be.
So that sums it up.
So it should be. The first one.
Yeah, I think it's the first one.
I'm Woody. Howdy, 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 howdy,
howdy. Howdy, 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 howdy.
I see, like, even like little bits like that.
I feel like we always say that. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Yeah. Tell me about Woody.
Woody's a hero. Right. Woody goes through it in the first one. He goes from being the number one guy, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, everybody loves him, whether it be humans, whether it be toys.
Yeah.
Woody is the number one. He's the sheriff in town. Like, you know, like, you see it in the first one, and it's moving day.
Yeah.
He's the guy with the mic.
Yeah.
It's Woody. He's the one. He's there. He's making sure everyone's fine. Mm-hmm. That's Woody's job. He cares a lot about them toys. And they're his friends. They're his family. However, Buzz comes in and everyone loves Buzz. Okay. Like, stupid Buzz. Stupid Buzz. Sorry, we had to stop because Jay had his tickly nose because he had a dog hair on it. But I was talking about Buzz coming in, and Woody's whole reality just shatters before him, before his eyes, mm-hmm. before his painted eyes. It just all falls apart. Like, the posters of him get taken down. Not only does Andy stop being bothered about playing with Woody, all of the toys, like, don't like Woody anymore and just start preferring Buzz. And it's like, I don't, it's rough. I feel like he goes through it.
Yeah.
And then, like, in the second one, obviously that's happened in the first one. And then Andy's hitting a point where he just isn't as fussed about toys anymore. And he finds the Jesse and the gang who love him. They want him there. Stinky Pete for the wrong reasons. Nasty Stinky Pete. But yeah, I feel like Woody's always going through it, and he's the protagonist, he's the leader. He's just, he's someone who, like, you can look up to in a way when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You know, he's always trying to do the right thing, and sometimes that doesn't come across in the right way necessarily. No,
he's pretty human, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, like, I feel like he's quite often misunderstood, or he does things, like, especially in the first one, he acts quite rash.
Yeah, he gets really mad, doesn't he?
Doesn't really think about what he's doing, doesn't think about the consequences of what he's doing.
Mm.
But then you see it. You see the journey of, obviously, him understanding, and him and Buzz become best friends.
Yeah.
And because Andy's what's most important to him at the end of the day, which is cute.
He's so loyal.
He realises that when he thinks that Buzz is lost.
Yeah.
He is so, he's very loyal. I think that's what it is. I think that's, again, it's a bit deep, but that's in the first one. He feels probably his loyalty's not been reciprocated by the toys and by Andy.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm so loyal to all of you. I would never, ever, ever do that to you and start, you know what I mean? But you have all just flipped on me. So, like, yeah, he loses it. He goes a bit crackers, pushes Buzz out the window, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Inadvertently in the end, but it still happens.
Mm.
And they're a big fight.
Yeah.
A big fight. You are a toy!
Oh, it's so good.
That's like the best scene, that Pizza
it's
Planet
so
scene.
It's so iconic.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you? You like Buzz.
I like Buzz. I like Buzz because I like how much he just fully believes that he's a toy in the first one. And I like how, like, we're introduced to him where, like, Andy's obsessed with everything. Like, he's changed his bedsheet, he's changed his wallpaper, he's changed everything.
Strange.
And then you think it's going to be... Is that one that is? Yeah,
yeah.
And then, like, I don't know, you just think, you know, oh, what's this interaction going to be? And then this toy just is convinced he's, like, an actual astronaut.
You can fly.
Like, it's so clever.
I love the laser.
And I just loved having the toy and actually clicking the laser.
Mm.
I think I would have loved Woody if I had Woody and pulling his string, but I feel like you did a lot with Buzz as the toy. He was pretty cool.
Do you know what, actually, I'll say as well about Buzz, just quickly I'll add on, is that, so his arc in that first one is very much like he goes through that issue and the crisis of, like, realizing he's a toy, he's not what he thought he was, he's not the person he thought he was, which is deep, and we'll touch on that a little bit later on. But as the films progress, he becomes very much a comic relief character.
Yeah.
And I love that for
especially
him.
In the third one.
And the fourth one.
Yeah.
Like the inside voice thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
The third one, the Spanish thing, when he turns Spanish and he starts doing, like, the flamenco dance thing. And he turns, like you said when we were watching the fourth one the other day, that, like, almost Drax-like. Like,
yeah,
so,
really
so
like Drax.
Literal. Like, he doesn't understand humour, or, like, he's still, like, he understands he's a toy. But he doesn't have, like, almost like Spock. Isn't it? So, like, it's, I love that about Buzz.
I think his character, like, develops over the movies quite a lot.
I also think Tim Allen was perfect.
Yeah.
There's a little fact, actually.
Mm.
They approached Billy Crystal first.
Oh, yeah.
To play Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
But Billy Crystal said, no, mate, no, thank you. He didn't actually believe in it, really. He didn't think that it would make that much money.
Mm.
What did we say before?
3.095
billion dollars.
We wouldn't have had him as Mike.
Yeah, they came a knocking again. Pixar came a knocking again a few years later, obviously, for Monsters, Inc. And Mike Wazowski, and he said, yes, please. Because he saw the success of Toy Story.
Yeah.
So that's great. That's just a little tidbit for you.
To be fair, right, so back then, in, like, the 90s, that's when you started to get, like, proper actors doing... like, coming in and doing voiceovers, I guess.
Yeah.
Because now it's normal, isn't it? Like, you're like, oh, who's doing this voice?
Yeah, I don't think
but I imagine before that point, it was just, you just got specific voice actors. You didn't get actors that did the voice, like...
I can't think of many prior to that, obviously, because... No, but
maybe it's just because that's when we were born and started watching things.
When did Aladdin come out?
Yeah. Like, there's nobody really,
like,
famous.
Robin Williams.
Oh, Robin Williams.
that was the point.
I was thinking of, like, Aladdin and Jasmine, though.
That was the point I was making. It's like, yeah, they had Robin Williams. Like,
yeah, that was it,
so,
though.
So, like, yeah.
Oh,
but that's
yeah,
what I mean. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Apart from him, like,
yeah,
what's the first one that I can think of? obviously, again, Lion King, you've got James Earl Jones, Rowan Atkinson.
Oh, true.
So it was, but it's in this era when it started happening. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just interested as to when, because obviously this was 95, which means probably in at least 94, maybe even 93, they were in that studio recording.
Yeah, yeah.
So it must have been in and around that time that they started to see credibility in being a voice of an animated. Yeah. And you become timeless. You become forever a legacy. And you become something that, like, outlives you, don't you? Like, see it with, like, obviously Robbie Coltrane said it when about being Hagrid,
just thinking that didn't when you
he?
Said that,
he said
that,
like, obviously I won't be here, which is even more so. Don't cry. Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. Don't cry, don't cry. He said it, and obviously he's no longer with us, and he said that he won't be here, but Hagrid will be for future generations, and that's beautiful. And that's, I think, probably what they started to twig onto back then.
Yeah.
Because Tom Hanks is Woody. And to be honest, you know what else? Tim Hanks is also Woody. Tom Hanks' brother, if you didn't know this, voices Woody in, like, anything that isn't the official Toy Story film.
Yeah.
So if you've heard Toy Story in games or anything like that, and you've been like, that sounds very much like Woody.
Dreamlike Valley,
yeah.
It's good old Tim.
That sounds like Woody, but there's something a little bit not the same. It's because it's his brother Tim. But that's brilliant. I love that, like, he's been able to... See, I wouldn't be able to do that with Josh. My brother. we don't have the same kind
of voice. I could do it with Leanne. We have an identical voice. 100%
you could do it with Leanne. Like, if
we've used it to our advantage.
If you're ever not here, I could get Leanne in.
Yeah.
I just won't do a video that week. And nobody would know. So that would be fun, actually. That's a fun little stuff. But back to Toy Story.
So
who's your favourite character?
Who's my favourite?
Yeah, outside of Woody and Buzz, because there's a great
Bullseye! Oh, why were you going to say that?
Of course I was going to say. I love Bullseye. No. Buster.
No, I was going to say Slinky Dog if not Bullseye. Yeah,
Slinky Dog.
Yeah, at least Slinky Dog.
What does he say? He's like, Body, God help me. Or something like that.
Woody.
Whoa.
Now, girl.
Honourable mentions in terms of characters.
What about Jesse?
We don't mention. Jesse. We don't talk about Jesse.
You've got beef with Jesse, I guess. You just have never been a fan.
She ain't not good enough for Buzz.
She just annoys you, doesn't
She's
she?
She's not good enough for Buzz. Like, my guy is a hero. Yeah, no, she does. I think as well. I have an issue. She in the second film is very much an advocate of taking Woody away from the toys.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And I think that's where, because, like, Stinky Pete is a lot more kind of shrugging it off, isn't he? Mm. He's a bit like, fine, let him go. See if I care.
Yeah.
Whereas Jessie, she was really, like, guilt tripping him.
It felt like, at the time.
You leave us. We're just going to be in this box forever. Yeah. And listen, I did not need any more guilt than Bullseye walking up to him with his little... That's all I needed. So, Jesse, get away with your guilt trip.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, my Nana Lynn didn't like it. Could be just that. I'm a simple man, and I loved her a lot. So it could be something as simple as that. Some of the new ones are fun. Lotso was great.
Oh, yeah. He was quite scary.
He was, yeah. But
that doll.
I knew as soon as I seen him, I'm like, nah, he's a nasty piece of work, this guy. We don't like him.
When they're too nice.
Yeah, this is it.
You've got to be sus.
Well, he was like Pixar. He was like head honcho of the Toyville.
Toy mafia.
Yeah, so we don't like it. I also like Rex because he's big and scary. And like me, we're not always big and scary people. You know, I feel like I resonate with Rex because of that. Because he's like, he's all like, did I scare you? And I feel like that could be like me because, like, I mean, I'm 6'5", I'm big, I'm tall, but I'm the least scary person in the world.
You're just a big friendly giant.
Which is great most of the time, but yeah, it's great all the time. Right, now let's talk about some of the themes. Because although they are kid films, and obviously marketed as that, but, like, we know that with any kind of animated film, there's always adult themes in there because they want to get the adults there to take the kids to watch it.
Yeah, we're the ones that cry.
Yeah,
at it all, aren't we?
100%. And it's, I think Toy Story, they're strong. They teach good lessons.
Yeah.
I think probably we've learned lessons from Toy Story without realising it. And I'm just going to start with, obviously, the loyalty that Woody shows. I've touched on before, but the friendship between Woody and Buzz. Now, you know something with me. My friends are very important to me.
Yeah.
They are like brothers. And some of relationships with me and my friends probably mirror Woody and Buzz because we've had moments where we've not got along. We've had moments where we've fought. We've had moments where we've been each other's worst nightmare. And you know what I mean? But I think one of the key things that it taught me, even at such a young age, was that, like, you can come back from that and still end up being best friends.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's because, so cute. Like, I like, you're a kid, especially kind of 6, 7, like, you do have, like, you proper silly things that you fall out about with your best friends.
Yeah, I remember the first fight.
Stupidest things.
First fights are so sad.
And it can be something as silly as that. Like, if you're the coolest kid in school, or, like, you know what I mean, or, like, the captain of the football team, and then a new kid moves and comes into the school, and then they become much better. You know what I mean? So yeah. I bet, like, that kind of scenario, that's not happened to me, by the way, but, like,
You're good at everything. No, not even that.
Like, it's just, like, yeah, it's not a situation that I've ever found myself in. Like, I was never the sheriff, you know what I mean? I was always a class clown. So I was Rex. I wasn't Woody. But, yeah, I'm sure some people have had that situation. And so here's one that I'm going to touch on. This is huge. And I've just even thought about it now. Siblings having a new sibling come into the family.
Oh my God, yeah.
That's massive. That's, you've gone from being the be all and end all of your parents' existence to something else's. This new thing is, and it's completely out of your control. And now all of your family and all, like, they get all the attention. I was the youngest kid, so
God.
I didn't experience that. I was like you in that situation.
Same.
But I feel like that, again, is such a great message. But you look at Woody and Buzz and what they go on to become, and they go on to become best friends, like a lot of siblings do. So I feel like that's an important message as well, that we don't probably know. That's probably the first time we've thought of that, because we're younger siblings. So we've never been in that situation, really. But
that makes me emotional thinking about the bit where it's like, I don't want to play with you anymore. And, like, imagine being a kid and feeling that about your parents. Oh my God. I mean, you probably don't understand it, but you feel it.
I've not felt it with my parents, but, like, I felt it when, like,
older brothers and sisters.
Felt it when, like, you know, like, I just don't know, like, a friend of yours, it just doesn't seem like they're as bothered about spending time with you anymore. You know what I mean?
My,
like,
sister did it with me, like, when she got older.
Yeah.
And it was like that awkward age where they don't want to play with you anymore.
Yeah, that was it.
That hurt,
yeah. And again, that's through no fault of their own. I completely get it, because 2 years doesn't sound like a lot, but it is quite a lot. Which is between me and my brother. So, like, when one's 10, one's like 8, and it's like, that's a big difference as well. And, like, when the other one's 10, the other one's 12, and they started secondary school, and you know what I mean? They don't want to be playing with toys and stuff anymore. Yeah. So, like, you kind of do go through that in different phases in your life. And that's just rejection, isn't it? That's rejection. That is what he's dealing with there.
Yeah.
It's rough, but that's what I mean. That there's themes throughout all four films, I think, that are strong. And they hold a bit of gravitas behind them.
So another theme is growing up and letting go. And I feel like that's kind of like in all of the movies separately, but then it also builds up throughout them.
I do disagree there. I don't think it's in one or two at all.
No.
I don't think it's in one at all.
I think sometimes, I think, like, in one, it's like, it potentially looks like Woody's going to have to let go of it because of Buzz.
Oh, right, yeah. But
he doesn't have to. And then in the second one, again, he's going to have to let go, but then he doesn't. And then the third one, it's like they actually then let go.
Oh, yeah, no, fair enough, letting go. I was thinking more on the growing up side, I guess. But I guess in the second one as well, you see, so this is something that, again, I think goes a bit unnoticed, even by myself then, saying that it's only three where growing up is important. Wheezy is in...
Yeah.
Wheezy is in episode two, is in Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
It's quite a big part of it, obviously, at the start. And he's been put on a shelf and forgotten about and going to get sold in the yard sale. And it's that kind of moment where they think that, like, their time's ticking a bit.
Yeah.
Like, how long until... Because that's when, I'm sure that's when Woody has the dream, isn't it? That I don't want to play with you anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
And that then, obviously, yeah, he goes from that to, like I said before, Jesse and Stinky Pete, who were so, they want him so much, even Al. Like, he's not, but he's not going to get played with. And that's obviously the most important thing. But growing up.
Yeah. I feel like the growing up, like we us watching it, at the ages that it came out and stuff, like, we grew up with it.
Yeah,
so when 100%. Andy's going to college, we were basically going to uni like a couple of years later. So it's like, we're growing up with it and things in our school. Life, we're letting go of.
Like, we were going to college.
Yeah.
He was going to what we call university, but we were, like, the word was college is what was being said on that film. And, and I was going to college. That was what was happening.
Yeah.
So it was just such a, that's what I mean, where we are that film. And the ending of three is so perfect. The way that he accepts it, he hands the toys over to Bonnie, but not just that, he plays with her.
Yeah, oh he my God. He
plays one last time. You see Andy play. Yeah. And, like, I remember watching that film and I wanted to come home and get Mickey and just be like, damn, like, almost like say thanks, because it's like they toys, they hold a certain place and they're there for a certain time and they mean a lot to you. Like, if anybody says that at some point in their life they've not had a toy that meant way too much to them than what it should in, like, normality, they're lying, because, like, I see, it's like not a day goes by that I see, like, someone sharing something on Facebook saying, oh, my son's lost this little bunny.
All the time.
Or like, I'll see something on Facebook where, like, someone's left the bunny in Ireland and it's found its way back to its owner in Morocco, because, it's like these little objects, they're so, so important.
They're like your best friends when you're younger.
And they do get passed on. That's the beauty of it. Obviously, mine hasn't been still down there. but a lot of my toys got passed on. My wrestlers. All of my wrestlers, my wrestling action figures, they got passed on. They got sold, actually. Mm. But I bought a load more as an adult, because that's what you can do when you have adult money. See, that's what I want Toy Story 6 to be, because Toy Story 5 looks like... Toy Story 5 looks like Bonnie is, like, still in. She's iPad. Toy Story 6 is Andy going to find his toys back. Going to get the gang back together, because Andy's become a Disney adult and he's become a collector and he's a nerd. And he wants to set all of his old Sheriff Woody and Buzz Lightyear toys on his shelf. And he wants the ones that have got Andy written on the bottom.
I literally...
Toy Story 6.
I literally did this, though, didn't I? Like, I gave... My sister had...
Pegasus.
Yeah, my sister got with her now husband.
Mm-hmm.
And he had two kids and Florence was only little. And I was like, you know what? You can have my Disney plushies. I'm cool. I'm 20-something. I don't need them. And then
6 months later, you met me.
6 months later, we rediscovered our love for Disney when we met each other, and I was like, what have I done? My Pegasus, my Mickey teddy, my pillow.
You fool.
And now I've got the pillow back, because she gave it back to me, because I demanded it back, and I sleep with it every night.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse pillow.
And then the Pegasus downstairs with the new Pegasus.
You sleep back. It's just like everyone has a pillow, don't they? Like, you that's your pillow.
That pillow helps my neck. More than anything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so comfy.
But no, yeah, the whole growing up, it's a huge part of it. Like, massive. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a whole theme running.
Right, yeah. So, again, so this is another one of the themes that I think that was massively resonated with a lot of people throughout the time. Even me as a kid, I remember it being emotional. And it's Buzz and his pretty much identity crisis throughout the first film, because it tackles something where, like, you thought you were this person growing up. You always thought you were this person, and then all of a sudden you find out that you're not.
It's so deep.
It's so deep that, like, when you think about it, it can resonate with so many different people in so many different ways that are, like, really touching, and that, like, I don't know, it's just so important. The actual, obviously, the way they portray it in the film, it's heavy. It's very heavy. The way that he stood on the banister, like, it's not all right.
It's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing.
Like, he just jumps off it.
It's so,
like,
bad.
Like, the thing is, right, just deep it for a second. He knows he can't fly.
Yeah.
He's learned. He's watched on the TV. He knows he can't fly. He's jumping off.
He's fully ready to.
Oh no, maybe he's testing it out, but, like, he's pretty convinced he can't at that point.
To be fair, he would have survived, because I threw my buzz light year around and it did not break.
Yeah, I thought he made a plastic. He lost an arm, didn't he?
He didn't know that.
And he became Mrs. Nesbitt.
Yeah.
Which is
just stick the arm back on.
That's hilarious. No, he doesn't even. He just holds it.
Oh my God, yeah.
He just waves it around. Because
you don't see him sticking back on.
There's that bit where he says, Woody's like, Buzz, I could use a hand. He's just like,
I'm Mrs. Nesbitt.
He just throws his arm at him.
Oh my God, brilliant.
And then, because Woody's holding the arm, isn't he? And he's pretending that Buzz is there.
Yeah. I like that it's so deep, yet then there's bits like that straight after.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's just such a fantastic.
It's like the perfect balance of, like, I don't know, deepness, but then.
But the thing is, what's important though is Buzz overcomes that crisis. He overcomes that identity crisis, and, like, he's loved. Like, the toys love him.
Yeah.
Andy loves him. And I think that's as well what probably irritates Woody about him, is that Buzz in that first film doesn't even care about Andy or how much Andy loves him. Like, he thinks he's a space ranger, and Woody's like, no, you're a toy. Your job is to make this kid happy.
Oh.
Why don't you care about that? Yeah. Because I care so much about that. That's all I care about.
In every single movie.
And he loves you, but you don't love him back.
Even, like, with Bonnie, like, every single movie, that's his, like, goal the whole time. He's so,
like, centered around just making sure the kid's okay.
Yeah. Like, even if he's stuffed in a cupboard.
Like, in Toy Story 4, he goes to kindergarten with her, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, that bit's so cute. He helps her make Forky.
No. I'm trash. You know what else as well? Just a quick one to add in. One of my favourite bits of any film ever is in Toy Story 2.
Which part?
When you can't rush out. You know, like,
oh my God.
The most satisfying piece of animation I have ever seen, when he's cleaning up Woody.
Yeah.
Not happy about the bit when he, like, paints over the Andy bit, but it's so clean. It's just one swipe, and it's, and, like,
that's like a short in itself,
dusting
isn't it,
the eyeballs bit. And, like, making him all shiny. It's so aesthetically
you can
pleasing.
Tell how much they leveled up the animation.
Toy Story 5 is coming out. I can't remember the date.
I wonder if they meet up again.
Probably a damn while away. Probably get some new guest stars, or probably someone, like, I reckon it'll be like, who've we got voices this day and age? I bet Sabrina Carpenter.
I was about to say Sabrina Carpenter.
Like, Sabrina Carpenter will be one.
She could be a Bratz doll.
Yeah, exactly. We could get Bratz dolls.
I love Bratz.
I think iPad and iPad kids is a big topic in it, and being on screens and stuff, and obviously not playing with the physical toys anymore, which is a great topic to tackle, I think.
Yeah. So relevant.
Very relevant.
Our nieces and nephews love an iPad.
They love an iPad. They love a toy.
They still play loads with their toys, though.
Yeah, so we'll see.
But
I also watch people play with toys, which is mind-boggling. But, like, people watch streamers play video games instead of playing video games, so it doesn't actually boggle my mind that much,
like,
that a kid would watch another kid playing with toys.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's a good idea, I'm going to play with mine like that.
So, to be fair, I used to film myself. I used to have a camera. We had a camcorder that we took on holiday. I would set my camera up and I would film The Lion King with my Lion King teddy.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
And then
let's try and get one.
I had Esmeralda and Quasimodo and whatever the guy's name was and just reenact it and film it. We have to find the tapes.
We've got a castle now.
The tapes are literally in there. We need to rejig them.
We've got a castle now. So.
Oh my God. I would have had so much fun with this castle.
So we've spoke about Toy Story a lot. Episode's coming to an end. One question.
Mm-hmm.
Two questions. Mm-hmm. What's your favourite film?
Yeah.
What's your favourite moment from the film? And let me just say, this question goes out to all of you guys that are watching. Yeah. All of you. I'm going to clip it. I'm going to put it on Instagram and TikTok. What's your favourite film and what's your favourite moment from the Toy Story franchise?
Yeah.
My darling wife, you styles off.
Okay. Number two is my favourite
film.
Yeah.
Fair. Didn't think that. But that's Rogue and I love it.
And my favourite moment is, do you know when he's sneaking out of his glass case and he's going to Al and he's climbing on Al?
Yeah.
And then he's climbing up and then you hear a crunch.
Yeah.
And his bullseye, like,
yeah,
eating all the Cheetos. Eating all the cheese puffs. Yeah. And he's just so excited to see him and he reminds me of Pebbles.
Yeah,
he's
so cute. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Isn't that such a good scene? Yeah,
I thought you were going to be, because he burps.
Oh.
I thought you were going to be like that. And I was like, yeah, that is iconic.
That is bullseye. I remember that
burp.
Yeah. And he's like,
proper gassing, yeah. Yeah. Mine would be, I love, so there's a couple that stick out, and I am going to say them all. There's obviously, there's the Toy Story 3 moment when they're all holding hands, just because of, like, I thought my life was about to fall apart. And so kudos Pixar and Disney for that. But there's something about that first moment when Woody says, "We're flying."
Oh.
And Buzz says, "We're not flying, we're falling with style."
Oh yeah.
At the end of the first one. And it's just like, I remember as a kid being like, friends, like, you got it, because
that is such a cute one.
As a kid, you're there and you're like, you love Buzz and you love Woody. Like, I didn't have a favourite, I wanted them to be friends. And it's like you finally get there and it's just like, it was just a great full circle moment. Like, I always remember them dropping into the car.
Yeah.
With Hakuna Matata being on.
Like,
Yeah, Hakuna Matata was on the car, yeah.
It's
just so good. So good. So wholesome. Good.
Yeah.
So wholesome. Shout out Pizza Planet, though. That argument there. You are a toy. That whole thing, that's up there. As I said, the stuff with the fixing up Woody.
Yeah.
Just so many iconic moments, to be honest.
Yeah.
I love it when they're playing, so you see them scenes. Like the
big dramatic looking scene. Yeah, it looks like an actual movie. Yeah. That is what it felt like when I was a kid, when I was playing in my head, like, I swear. Like, that's what I mean. My dreams are like that now, actually.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? I think that's what they wanted to portray with amazing. That. That was what we see it as, and then you see what the adults see it as, and it's just all stuff on the floor. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's it. Yeah, guys, you guys, please.
Guys.
We've not even mentioned the aliens.
Takers to your leader.
We saved our lives. We are eternally grateful.
Oh, so good. They're on my shoe.
Fantastic. Yeah, actually as well.
That's right here.
Do you know what? Just before we wrap up, shout out the aliens because we've not mentioned them.
Yeah.
Shout out any toys we've not mentioned. Shout out the broken toys in Sid's room. They're freaky.
Yeah,
they scared the life out of me as a kid.
But
yeah, and shout out you guys for listening. Please let us know in the comments, what was your favorite Toy Story film and what was your favorite moment from all the Toy Story, because there's that many. I'm interested to see. I did a vote, actually. I did a poll on Mickey's Best Pals Instagram, and it was an absolute landslide that Toy Story won.
The first one,
by an absolute landslide. Let me just get the stats up for you, because you know me, I'm a sucker for a stat. Right, yeah, so here we go. Toy Story 1, 2, 3, or 4, and we had 42 votes for 1, 16 votes for 2, 7 votes for 3, and 3 votes for 4, actually, which genuinely surprised me. So if you guys all let me know, especially you guys that have put 4, I want to know what was your favourite moment from 4 and what made that one your favourite. I'd love to know why 4 stuck out for you as your favourite. So do let us know in the comments. Subscribe to the channel.
Yeah.
You know the drill. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, some other podcast platforms that I can't remember the name of, Samsung Podcasts, Amazon. I think that's about it.
Then follow us on TikTok and Instagram. We are themagicwithin.pod.
Yes, at themagicwithin.pod. Yeah. I am at Mickey's Best Pal on both platforms, Instagram and TikTok. TikTok, I will follow you back. Instagram, I cannot because I only follow Mickey Mouse. For now.
For now.
It's getting tough, guys. I'll be honest, it's not easy, and I'll tell you why. A lot of people follow me, and I see your accounts, and I think, this is great. It's great content. I love it. It's great, yeah. And I'd love to follow them. And then I can't follow back because I've done this thing where I've said I'm challenging myself to only follow Mickey Mouse, and then that account goes into the void because my feed is just an absolute, not minefield, it's just potluck. Like, I don't know. Like, it's Disney stuff always, but it's not like I can't actively support people that have followed me. So I might call it a day at 5,000, but we'll see. That's by the by.
It's been fun, though.
It has been great. It's honestly been great. I can't thank people that have followed me on there enough. It got to like nearly 5,000 in the space of a month. Like, it's crazy. So I'm so thankful, but I just want to start engaging and following back and building a community. Yeah. And I don't know how much of a community I can build if I don't follow any of you. So we'll see. We'll see. That was a little bit of a tangent.
That was cute, though.
Yeah, well, I'll probably end up chopping that bit out and putting it just on my story. But there you go. Yeah, don't forget to follow me, follow the podcast, follow everything, subscribe to it. It does mean the world when you guys subscribe, downloads. Like, we got downloads from, like, all over the world.
Yeah, like, it's crazy.
Like, one in Africa, one in Australia, a few in America, quite a few in England, some in, like, Europe, like, Norway. So if you're the one that's listening from Norway, shout out you. Yeah, it's been great.
We'll read in the comments as well when people reply to us on stuff.
Yeah, and we've had great feedback so far. Thanks for everything. It means the world. Next episode is Mickey Mouse.
It's Mickey Mouse, Pets.
So it's about everything Mickey Mouse. We'll start from the start because it all started with a mouse. It's going to be our first ever deep dive into just one character. So we thought it should all start with a mouse, as it did many, many years ago, back in 1928, nearly 100 years ago, in fact.
That is crazy.
So I'm looking forward to that. I hope you guys are too. That'll be episode 5. I've been Mickey's Best Pal. This has been the Magic Within podcast. Yeah. And as always, Pebbles has come up.
Say bye, Pebbles.
Say bye.
She's sleepy. Sleepy bear.
Say have a magical day. Have a magical day, guys.
Have a magical day.
Peace.